Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The May 8th, 2015 meeting of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees is hereby called to order. Ms. Phillips, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Curtin?
Here.
Trustee Hatch? Trustee Joyce?
Here.
Trustee Leak?
Here.
Trustee Smith? Trustee Williams?
Here.
Trustee Young?
Here.
Trustee Zoller?
Here.
A quorum exists for the business of the board to begin. Ms. Phillips, will you certify that notice for this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the meeting notice requirements have been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration, Student Union, and the Academic Library buildings.
I'd ask the board members, are there any comments or corrections to the minutes from the March 6, 2015 board meeting? Hearing no comments or corrections, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
I second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Williams?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
Our first report will come from the Academic and Student Affairs Committee. Trustee Joyce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are a few things we're going to discuss. Dr. Angela Henderson will begin the procedure.
Thank you, Trustee Joyce, Mr. Chairman, trustees, and the President. Today is a happy day for us, a very exciting day. We have our partners in academia, Moraine Valley College, Community College, here today to sign an articulation agreement. I'd like to ask Dr. Thomas Rowan, as well as the chairperson of the department, of Dr. Katami, to come and talk about what this articulation means to the two institutions. Or for the two institutions.
I'd simply say we're very grateful to our colleagues at Moraine Valley, President Jenkins, Dr. Haney, Mr. Bars, and all concerned for their warm reception of us some time ago. We're grateful for the work of Dr. June Price on this articulation and the leadership of Dr. Katami. It should be the first of several that we hope to conclude within the year.
This articulation agreement is an agreement between Moraine Valley and the Secondary Education Professional Studies and Recreation Department, and specifically is to sign an agreement to accept courses from the recreation program in that department, so that students from Moraine Valley who might want to transfer to the program, the courses will be accepted into the program.
Thank you.
That's good.
I'll take the time to also ask the President if someone from Moraine Valley would like to speak about this new relationship.
Thank you very much. My name is Bill Bars. I'm the department chair of public service, which houses both recreation and physical education. And within physical education, we have our fitness trainer program. Many years ago, we started this program, and it's the cooperation with Chicago State. And I'm glad that June Price took the initiative to get it back rolling again. And on behalf of Dr. Jenkins and Dr. Haney and our new dean, Kiana Battle, I'm very happy to be here today and represent Moraine Valley Community College and to see my old friend Mike Curtin. I'm sure he's doing a great job on your board. We were together in the Chicago Catholic League for many, many years.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bars, and thank you for beating up on Mendel every chance you got.
You're very welcome. But our students look forward to the days when Chicago State, Dr. Bob Simons and Dr. Katami come and talk to my classes in physical education, and they both do a great job of representing your university to our students. We look forward to signing this agreement and being able and our students to be able to have a seamless transition from attending Moraine Valley and then having a great career here at Chicago State. So thank you very much, and we look forward to signing this and long future and keeping the agreement rolling. Thank you.
Before we sign, I want to share that this is the first. We started with physical education. We've been talking about criminal justice. We are also talking about health programs, as well as we would like to talk about business. So this is the first of many agreements. And this is a program-to-program articulation agreement. And so the goal of the program-to-program articulation agreement is to ensure that students have a 2+2 experience at the two institutions. And so it could be longer, which is okay, but eventually when a student comes from the community college with an associate's degree, then they will go directly into the program that we are signing today. So we're very excited about that. Implementation is key, so we plan to be out at Moraine Valley talking to students. They also have an opportunity for us to sit in their transfer center and actually spend some time out at the college and speak to students on certain days. So we will be working with them to do that as well. So I'd like to ask our president, chairman, and trustee Joyce to please join us in the signing of this agreement. We have the president of the university, Dr. Sylvia Jenkins. We have Dr. Pamela Haney, who is our vice president, Mr. Bill Bartz, who is the chair of the public service. And then our president will say a few words. I will sign, and Dr. Katami will sign this new agreement. President.
While everyone is getting together to do this, I just want to say that as a member of the taxpaying body of the Moraine District, it is a wonderful school, it's a terrific campus, and this is a great opportunity for Chicago State, and I'm personally delighted. Thank you.
And I'd like to say, trustee, also to Kiana Battle, who I've watched in professional matriculation down through the years, I am so proud of you, Kiana Battle, to be a part of this great endeavor as we merge this great collaboration.
Just very briefly, I really want to thank Dr. Sylvia Jenkins, the president of Moraine Valley Community College, for the leadership that she has given Moraine Valley just throughout the state, because Moraine Valley Community College is one of the leading community colleges throughout the state of Illinois. I also want to thank her for making it possible for us to reestablish this plank in our relationship between Moraine Valley and Chicago State University. I must acknowledge the fact that Dr. Bill Bars and I have a couple of connections. One is, he is a CSU graduate. We must acknowledge that. And two is, he is a Dr. Curtin, a Mount Carmel man, Trustee Joyce. He is a Mount Carmel man.
Don't sign the agreement.
I was the athletic director and football coach at Mount Carmel from 77 to 83.
On behalf of Moraine Valley Community College, I want to thank Dr. Watson, the Board of Trustees, and all of the administrators here at Chicago State for giving us this opportunity. Moraine Valley serves a large population of students, and what we try to do is to provide our students opportunities to complete. And after they complete their associate's degree, we are very pleased to have this partnership so that our students can come to Chicago State to complete their bachelor's degrees and to go on to higher levels. So I look forward to us to continue this conversation. Dr. Battle has already met several of the deans in the area. Dr. Haney has met several of the deans, and we will continue to work on other articulation agreements with you. Thank you very much.
Yes. So first we'll have our president sign, then we'll have the trustee sign, and then we'll have our vice president sign.
Dr. Watson, I expect you to wear this every day. it says Moraine Valley. Okay, so he's going to go out and advertise us. So thank you so very, very much. Angela, we also have one for you, so we expect you to wear yours.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
I will wear this, and I can easily wear this because of the fact that it does have the correct foundation color.
Oh, yeah.
Which is green.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
And Dr. Jenkins, this is from Chicago State University.
Thank you.
And hopefully you'll be able to think of us each morning.
Okay, I'm sure I will. Oh, very nice. Thank you.
As you drink your coffee.
Thank you very much. And it's also the right color. Moraine Valley. The green is always good. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Billy, it's good to see you. Yeah, Bill Barris is Nikki Zoller.
Excuse the wet hand. It's just this bottom. Nice to meet you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Nice meeting you. Take care.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Provost Henderson will continue with the academic affairs update.
Next, we have a brief introduction of our Honda Challenge team. Our students compete nationally every year. This year's team did a phenomenal job under the leadership of Professor Tiffany Smith. And so we'll take less than 60 seconds to share with you their experience during this year. Dr. Rowan.
I'm going to invite Coach Tiffany Davis, who's an assistant professor in the sociology department and alumna of Chicago State, to talk with us briefly. But I'd like to thank her very much in her freshman year as coach, along with assistant coach Brandon Morgan, who's a student in the higher ed program and a graduate assistant. They, for the first time in several years, qualified for nationals by placing at the Hampton Pre-Invitational. And she will introduce the members of her team, some outstanding students that we should all be proud of. Yes, and I should have said, the Honda Challenge is sponsored by American Honda for historically and predominantly African-American institutions. The students compete for scholarships each year. Chicago State's been a proud participant for nearly two decades now. Dr. Davis.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doctor.
So yes, I had the pleasure of being a co-coach, actually. Mr. Brandon Morgan was the co-coach for the team. He also used to be a player for 2 years prior. So we had a very good time this year. So to introduce the team, sitting next to Mr. Morgan is Ms. Shanice Brown. And Shanice, do you want to say your major? Okay, maybe I should say she's a junior in the engineering studies major since I have the microphone. Next to her is Ms. Nicolette Sanders, who is a freshman, correct? Now a sophomore, and a chemistry major. And then on the end there, we have Ms. Sabina Redmond, who is a nutrition major. And unfortunately, we have one other member who couldn't make it today, Mr. Elijah Robertson, who is a business major. And he just finished his freshman year. So we had a great time. We competed in the finals in LA in March, and the team did very well, especially since this was the first year for all of them. And we look forward to going back and making it to finals again next year.
Thank you, students and coaches and everyone who has been involved with the Honda Challenge over the past 20 years. Thank you. We're very proud of you. Our next action item is the Illinois LSAMP Bridge to the Doctorate, and Professor and Dean Jones, Leroy Jones, will introduce the resolution.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doctor.
Let's see. Before you have a resolution, and the resolution reads, Chicago State University has received a grant from the National Science Foundation entitled the Illinois LSAMP Bridge to the Doctorate at the University of Illinois at Chicago 2015-2017 in the amount of $987,000. The overall goal of the UIC LSAMP BD program is to increase the numbers of underserved students receiving advanced degrees in STEM disciplines and will support a minimum of 12 students annually. The period covered by the grant contract is April 1st, 2015 through March 31st, 2017. I also have prepared something just to give you a little bit more history behind this particular grant. So this particular grant is actually from the National Science Foundation and is led by the Illinois Lewis Stokes Alliance for Minority Participation, which Chicago State has been a lead institution for since 1993. As a part of this particular grant, for the last 10 years, NSF has allowed Chicago State to apply for the Bridge to the Doctorate programs. The way that the program is set up, it's actually a consortium of institutions, 15 institutions throughout the state of Illinois, and we have within that consortium three PhD granting institutions, UIC, SIUC, and IIT. To date, over the last 10 years, we've actually had 10 of these cohorts, and we've had actually seven of these cohorts, two at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale, and with this one, it'll be the fifth at UIC. One of the things that I would like to leave with you is that these funds are to support actually 12 doctoral students at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And in the spirit of broadening participation, which the National Science Foundation strongly encourages us to do, since this program has been an exception, we have actually had 29 PhDs complete, 20 master's degrees, and 13 students left the program for various reasons, whether that be personal or family obligations, lack of progress during their first year, or differences with advisors. A particular note, and keep in mind that this is a consortium of institutions, there have been, of the 72 students, 12 CSU Bridge of the Doctorate Fellows to date, with number 13 to be joining UIC as part of the fall 2015 incoming PhD class. Of the 12 CSU students, four have completed PhDs. As a matter of fact, one is graduating with a PhD MD today from UIC. Three have completed masters, three are currently in the doctoral program, and two left the program for different reasons. So thank you for your consideration of this resolution, and I welcome any questions that you may have about the program at this time.
Are there any questions or comments from
trustees? It's an excellent program, Dr. Jones.
Thank you.
Okay, seeing no questions, I'd ask for a motion to approve the Illinois LSAMP Bridge to the Doctorate at UIC.
So moved. Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leake?
Yes.
Trustee Williams?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
The motion has passed. Thank you, Doctor.
Our next resolution to the board is to recommend for conferment of tenure based on input from the faculty, chairpersons, deans of the colleges, as well as the university personnel committees and department personnel committees. We are recommending 10 individuals or 10 outstanding faculty members to be awarded tenure at the university. They're actually present today, and I'll ask them to stand. You have in front of you summaries of the work that each individual has done over the past 7 years at the university. They have done outstanding work in the areas of research, service, and teaching. And we are asking the board to please grant them tenure status on this day. Are there any questions about or comments for the individuals who are here today?
Yes, I would like to just congratulate them all and thank them for the good work and the hard work that you've given the university and the students here. We very, very, very much appreciate your efforts, and the students appreciate your efforts, and I want to congratulate you all. It's so exciting.
I want to congratulate Dr. Jansen on doing an exceptional job of working with our young people in the philosophy department, who at times and often seems it so difficult to maneuver through. So thank you, Dr. Jansen.
I'm not going to embarrass myself or you by going through each one of you, but each one of you have had major accomplishments and have provided major services to our students. And I'm very proud to to make this recommendation to my board that each one of you be given tenure, or not be given tenure, that we acknowledge the tenure that you have earned, because you've earned it. You've come through one of the most rigorous tenure processes, and you have a lot to be proud of, and we have a lot to be proud of. Thank you for what you're doing with our students. And each one of you, I have talked with you, and I've worked with you in terms of your involvement with students. Thank you very much.
I also add my congratulations and ask for a motion to approve the tenure resolution.
Trustee Joyce, it's my honor to offer that motion.
Thank you.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Williams?
Yes.
No, no.
Oh. Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
The motion has passed. Thank you, all of you.
Congratulations again. The next resolution we have are for two individuals who were in their sixth probationary year of faculty employment and were eligible to apply for tenure during the 2014-2015 academic year. Based upon the submitted tenure application portfolios and the individuals going through the process of the department, the faculty, the chairs, the deans, the academic affairs, and a recommendation to the president. The recommendation reached after this process was conducted and is in accordance with the contract and board regulations. I would like to point out that one of the individuals did submit a letter of resignation effective May 16, 2015, but the person was in the process, and so we are adding the person to the resolution. So we are recommending that the board not confer tenure upon the individuals listed above and each so named in this resolution.
Does that require a vote? Yes. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
The motion has passed.
The next resolution is for another individual who was in the seven-year process for tenure. The individual was in his sixth year of probationary faculty employment with the university and was eligible to apply for tenure. However, he gave us notice that he would retire at the conclusion of this academic year and did not apply for tenure. Since the tenure process is a contract, we are officially documenting his notice of non-application of tenure, and we are asking the board to approve this resolution. And this professor, who has done a great job in one of our colleges, will retire at the conclusion of this academic year, and we thank him for his service.
Any questions or comments? Ask for a motion to pass.
So move.
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
The motion has passed. The next action item?
Yes. Our final action item under academic affairs is the recommendation that an honorary doctorate degree be conferred upon the Honorable LaDoris Dot Harris, who is the Director of the Office of Economic Impact and Diversity of the United States Department of Energy. I would like to state that you have in your package the recommendation that was submitted by one of our professors. The process that occurs is according to our board regulations, and a notice goes out, a committee is formed, a notice goes out to the entire Chicago State University internal community, and everyone is has the ability to make a recommendation for an honorary degree applicant. We had three applications. I have the scoring rubric in your packet. The three of the applicants had excellent applications and scored very well. The Honorable Ladoris Harris had the highest score, and the recommendation was made to the president from the committee to recommend that she be awarded an honorary degree this spring, commencement 2015.
Any comments or questions from board members? Hearing none, I'd ask for a motion to approve.
That's approved.
A second, please.
Second.
Trustee Curtin?
Yes.
Trustee Hatch?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Leak?
Yes.
Trustee Williams?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Zoller?
Yes.
Motion has passed.
Thank you.
Madam Provost, before you, I did have a question.
Yes.
And it was just, when is the last time we conferred an honorary degree?
In 2010.
James.
I believe it was Mr. Tyree.
James Tyree, chairman of Metro.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. My starting the academic affairs report. President, did you want to say a few words before I start? Okay. Today's report really is focused on enrollment. So it's not, you've received our academic affairs report. We've shared with you the activities we've been involved in. Today I'm going to ask our deans to be very brief. They're queued up. We planned this after the chairman asked some questions last board meeting. And so I'm going to ask Dean Jones and Dean Collins to come up to get started sharing the responsibilities of the deans and the chairs in our academic departments, and some of the activities they're involved in to work with enrollment, retention, and graduation. We, this year, have redefined the responsibilities and the roles. The work has always been done, but we realize development is key. We also know that retention is critical for our students in our programs. And so they're going to talk to you about the work that they have been doing over the past year in these areas.
And Provost, you're correct. I do have a couple of words to say. You tried to give me the cue and I missed it. I apologize. With regards to enrollment at Chicago State University, basically three things. We have right-sized our enrollment. Two is, we have established strategies and goals for a gradual increase of our enrollment. And three, we have restructured the enrollment management office at Chicago State University to expand it to stakeholders that have direct contact with students on both ends, students within the university and students we're trying to recruit to the university. All research and enrollment management models state that that is the best and strongest model going. Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Leroy Jones II. I am the Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences and also a professor of chemistry. I would like to share with you some initiatives that the College of Arts and Sciences has implemented since I became permanent dean in December of last year. One of the things that we immediately did was to create an enrollment retention and graduation committee to help bolster the enrollment at CSU. The initial meeting was held in the latter part of fall 2014 by two successive meetings in early spring 2015. From that came five strategies. The first one was to bring visibility to CSU by visiting high schools, college fairs, and churches. We had always been doing that, but we wanted to step that effort up. The second was to invite prospective students to CSU events such as music recitals, senior day, transfer student open houses, and et cetera. A third thing that we started was a We Want You Back postcard mailing campaign, which I'll talk about a little bit later. We also encourage chairs and advisors to contact admitted students as well as current students to arrange for advising and registrations. And then the fifth thing that we did in the college was to appoint a person from the dean's office as the official college recruiter with the person's name and photo to appear on all outreach information as the contact person for the College of Arts and Sciences. So what were some of the outcomes? In regards to the first one, we collected over 600 enrollment cards, have been collected, copied, and sent to the admissions office. CAS staff members have created a prospective students database from the information collected at the recruitment event. The second thing, utilizing the admitted student reports from the admissions department, department chairs and advisors are contacting these students and following the admission and registration progress for those who submit an application. Also, utilizing a persistence report from the Institutional Effectiveness and Research, CAS has mailed out over 300 We Want You Back postcards to students enrolled last academic term, but not this one. Mr. Jimmy Bush, CAS Outreach Coordinator, has started receiving phone calls from the flyers and postcards, and we should be able to quantify that number as we move into the summer. In terms of fall 2015 goals, we definitely want to continue the aforesaid strategies, but we also want to do three additional things. The first is secure software to help consolidate and manage the CAS ERG database and better facilitate mass communications via mail and email. The second thing is, since the fall is coming up, our focus has really been on seniors ready to start college in fall 2015. What we plan to do in the upcoming fall is actually to add high school sophomores and junior to try to cultivate them earlier in the process to get them to come to the university. And then the third thing is, for this academic year, we have really been focusing on undergrads. We now wish to turn not only to undergrads, but also focus on graduate students, bringing them into the College of Arts and Sciences. One thing that I want to note for the current students that are here, in the spring, you will find signage in the buildings reminding students to register before the end of the semester. Our provost has set a goal before the semester ends to try to get 75% of the students to register. It's a pretty daunting goal, but we're working toward it. The advisors are making calls to students not registered, and then the faculties have actually reminded the students in the classroom to register. And then the last thing is, you'll find at a lot of the end of the year departmental gatherings, we actually had registration pushed to enrolled students. So that's what we're doing in the College of Arts and Sciences. We're certainly optimistic, and our goal in the fall 2015 is to try to increase the enrollment by 3 to 5%.
Thank you, Doctor.
Good morning. Derek Collins, Dean of the College of Business. Just a couple of comments concerning College of Business enrollment. We are working toward a 3 to 5% increase over the fall of 2014 enrollment for this year, which equates to about 615 students. Our 600 number among our five programs of accounting, finance, management information systems, and marketing is kind of the ceiling that we try to break. It's kind of a first level milestone. And so the 615 number reflects that. We look to try to leverage a lot of the opportunities that are afforded to us by our enrollment management department, and who put the department puts on a number of recruiting initiatives where we allow to meet with students and sometimes meet with their parents. And then the key for us is to follow up on those initiatives. So we have a committee of faculty members that have identified themselves as folks that would actually engage in recruiting for the College of Business, and having them follow up directly with students as well as our advisors. One of the things that we've done in the college is to try to leverage some of the quote downtown unquote of our advisors. We have been doing our registration season, very, very busy times for our advisors, but during the year it slows down, and we want to utilize those hours for having them to get involved with the recruiting as well. And because they know the program so well, because they advise on it, they can be very specific when they talk to students and parents. So we are having those advisors follow up. We've actually provided or instituted this year in each of the advisors' performance evaluation objectives, enrollment, retention, and graduation goals in those objectives. And then finally, one of the things we're looking to do is to leverage opportunities for high potential students. For those students that where we've reached out to the athletic department, reached out to the Honors College, for those students where we believe that has a high potential student in that have been recruited for athletics or being potentially recruited in the Honors College, we try to partner with them if they're looking to come into the College of Business, because if we can now essentially double up on the scholarships to that one student, we can provide a better offer to that student collectively than we can individually. So we try to leverage those types of initiatives. I guess we would take questions if anyone has questions.
Mike, how long have you deans been involved in the enrollment process?
For myself, I started as dean in December 2014, so that's when I started.
Since the day one, since I've been here, 2010.
I guess since 20, this is the first time any of the deans have come and talked to us about enrollment and enrollment strategies from the individual colleges. And if you've been doing this since 2010, how come we're just hearing about it? From you, I mean.
I'll let Provost, can you?
Well, I've been in my position since 2013, and so I've been working with them since that time on enrollment planning. I will go back to the Higher Learning Commission. When we worked on our self-study, we have a committee, and the committee has been in place. I've been here since 2011, and the committee has been in place. When I joined the university, there was an enrollment retention and graduation committee made up of deans, faculty, and staff, and we've continued to meet in a different way under a committee called enrollment planning. So when the Higher Learning Commission came, we did the self-study. We talked about enrollment planning because that had been an issue since 2000. So we continued, we had an update on that information, and so we've continued to plan. So to answer your question, I try to give we don't go into details. When they give you their reports and we send it to you, the details are embedded in the reports so that the deans share the activities that they are working on in their individual departments.
Provost, let me ask the question, the chairman's question another way. How long has it been defined that one-third of the dean's job will be recruitment and enrollment and reaching certain goals?
Defined in their job responsibility has been officially this year.
Okay.
And that, and yes. Well, when Dean said that was 2010, I wanted to share that this is not something that just has started, that deans have always been involved. We've just been starting to, we've quantified it a little more as we evaluate deans, because to be honest with you, I say it all the time, we have chairs who have departments, and then we have deans and we have associate deans within colleges. So, you know, we have to collaborate with those experts in their areas to ensure that when we're going out and talking about programs, that people understand those programs. So,
thank you.
So, it was in about the last year that the provost has sat down with the deans and actually defined it within their job, where one-third of their job is now to deal with the foundations, one-third is to, that means raising money, and one-third dealing with enrollment and recruitment, and then the other third is dealing with the academic management of their department. Dean Collins is right. Every dean was involved since they were hired back in 2009. But it was not as structured as it is now. The operative word is structure. The operative word is emphasis. The operative word is accountability. The operative word is they are now given goals to hit. Okay? I think one of the deans said that he had a rather daunting so with Dr. Jones, I see the smile, stated that he now has a goal that he has to hit. That was not done before, all right? So your question, sir, there's involvement and then there's also involvement.
we now have involvement defined to the point where accountability and responsibility is assigned.
And Mr. Chair, I must also comment concerning Dean Natasha Green and the College of Education. Mm-hmm. Her off-campus event at Calumet Township was extraordinarily mm-hmm. successful with students, non-traditional students, and students who we were trying to re-enroll in the university.
And being that you mentioned that Dr. Latasha Green, go ahead, keep smiling, Doc. You know, as I stated, one third of their job now is defined as, remember we restructured the foundation, the CSU Foundation. Well, deans have now become part of the CSU Foundation because one third of their job now is to raise money. And Dean Latasha Green had a very successful event.
Yes.
What, a week ago?
Yes.
She had a fundraiser. Yes. And had a fundraiser for her college, which will give make funds available for scholarship dollars.
Yes.
Now, each dean will now start to do that.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, it was mentioned that there was an enrollment planning committee, and so we know the provost is a part of it, and the deans are the other people who are involved in that committee. Was
So we have an enrollment planning committee that's co-chaired by a faculty member. Her name is Dr. Sarah Buck. And she's also, I may get her title, she's over the academic committee for the Faculty Senate. Okay, and then it's also co-chaired by Associate Vice President Cherie Sidney. And then the membership is made up of faculty, staff, and students. Can I stick this on there? Okay. So our next individuals will be brief as well. We have our Associate Vice President for Enrollment Management, and we have our Assistant Provost for Graduate Programs, Dr. Paula Carney, who will talk about their efforts. Dr. Paula Carney focuses on our graduate programs and our graduate and professional programs, and Ms. Sidney work in partnership.
Good morning, Chairman Young, Board of Trustee members. Again, for the record, my name is Cherie Sidney, and I am the Associate Vice President of Enrollment Management. I believe that Ms. Phillips or Ms. Muscadin are now passing out a revised EM board report. We made some minor edits to that report. In addition, you will also receive some projected enrollment numbers. At the last meeting, the board requested data pertaining specifically to enrollment and university strategies and goals for fall 15. The report identifies 7 strategies that align to CSU's plan on how we strategically grow enrollment. Those strategies are manage enrollment capacity and retention, increase first-time full-time freshmen, increase the number of transfer students, increase scholarship, involve our alum, expand our outreach efforts, and increase our recruiting efforts. You've also noted in that same report that there were recruiting sub-goals that align directly to the strategies. For an example, within strategy increase first-time full-time freshmen, we have enhanced partnership with CPS neighborhoods, high schools, districts, establish articulation agreements and dual enrollment for schools and community colleges. That also aligns to strategy 2, 3, and 4. I'd like to just bring your attention very quickly to, we actually are hosting a group of students from Thornton Township today, 6 students. Every Friday we host a breakfast with the president with various public schools and schools across the community. Basically, those schools have been introduced to CSU through other outreach initiatives. This particular group may have come through our open house. So as the second touch, what we do is we invite certain students within that pool to have breakfast with the president. Those students are accompanied by their principals, their counselors, and sometimes their parents. It allows CSU to holistically re-engage that community, that high school community, reintroduce ourselves to those high school professionals, and obviously close the deal with those students. We do this in partnership also with Academic Affairs, and the deans are there to showcase and highlight some of their programs. As noted in the enrollment report, we have set an enrollment goal of 5,367 students, which represents an increase of approximately 3% or 156 students compared to Fall 14's enrollment of 5,211. The enrollment goal represents the number the university is attempting to enroll for this fall term. The goal is what we call an aspiring goal. This is higher than the flat projection of 5,211 or 5,211, which is used to set our FY16 budget. Our goals, as you've heard from two of our deans, are based on collaborative and comprehensive analysis of the enrollment, retention, and graduation trend data at the university. It is based on the addition of new articulation agreements, which you've witnessed here today with Moraine Valley, partnerships, which two of the deans have told you about, program reviews, and the university's strategic and recruitment plans. Enrollment planning is based on strategy and assumptions that involves communications, collaboration, and we adjust as needed. Provost mentioned very briefly the Higher Learning Commission's 2012 accreditation report. In each of those reports, the department's planning, measurement, and effectiveness annual plans were submitted. Each department at the university with a budget has established enrollment goals that are embedded in the university's overall plan. Again, you heard specifically from two of our deans how that rolled into their colleges. A team of faculty and administrators lead the PME effort and the planning process as engaged by the entire university on a number of initiatives. Because enrollment, retention, and graduation our priorities for the university, each department has developed strategies to meet their projected goals. And in some cases, in most cases, enrollment management is responsible for aligning those initiatives and strategies and connecting and partnering with our academic and student affairs partners so that we can holistically, again, deliver and execute an event that touches a student on multiple levels. In summary, we believe that we can achieve these goals because of the increase in applications driven by our common application membership, enhanced communications and touches to students. Within enrollment management alone, we touch each student five times before the colleges or even simultaneous sometimes with the college. Trend data is used to make data-driven decisions and projections. Dr. Kearney's going to share with you a tool that we use within the university. And improved business processes. We are consistently looking at how we do what we do and why we do it to drive change and effectively connect with our students. Dr. Kearney?
Thank you. For the record, I am Paula Kearney, Assistant Provost of Graduate and Professional Studies and Associate Professor in Health Studies. What you have in front of you now is a rather lengthy document, so I don't want to, I want to highlight several items. If you turn to page two, you should see College of Arts and Sciences graduate programs. Now, each of these pages follows the same format, but I thought I'd show you how we're using this. And if you direct your attention to, I will turn this around, I teach with using visual methods. There's a yellow, gold, goldenrod, and lemon. Those are the columns that I'm going to be referring to. So in our enrollment planning process, we look at trend data. We look at, and in this instance, we have fall 2013 and fall 2014 data. And then we flow that through and project who's returning, our new students, and enrollment goals. And so just a couple of items, and I'll really be focusing on lines 1 to 5. If we look at our biology graduate program, this may be a little misleading because we offer one master's degree in biology. We have three tracks. So each of those tracks are tracked, no pun intended, separately. But they do roll up into some core courses that all of those students take. If we go down to the lines 4 and 5, line 4 is for the clinical mental health program. Several years ago, the psychology faculty proposed curriculum changes that moved their community counseling program into an accredited clinical mental health program, so that one student in community counseling has been here a while and is graduating. But if we look at clinical mental health, we can see the number of new students, the number of continuing students, so we have 11 new students is the goal, 77 continuing students with an enrollment of 89. The faculty, the chair of that program and faculty coordinator and I were looking at their application data, and the applications were lower than they had been in the past. So we responded to that by working through those applications, but also extending the application date and doing some new initiatives so that we could fill that program and meet the goals. So then we can look at the yellow line, which shows how many have enrolled compared to the enrollment, to the enrollment goal. And so then we can work that to say, of those who have been accepted, what touches can we do to reach out and to get them to come in and actually enroll? If we look down at the computer science program on line 7, that graduate program primarily reaches out to international students. We certainly market locally, but we have a grant and several relationships and MOUs with universities in India. So we have an enrollment goal of 104, which will include 43 new students. But if you look and you say, well, only one has actually enrolled, and so those students need to get their visas, they need to travel to the U.S. So we pre-plan what that enrollment would be, and we know that those registrations are going to happen closer to the beginning of the fall semester. So by looking program by program, but yet looking at these key columns, I, as the responsible party for all the graduate and professional programs, with the deans and with the program directors, can then manage, you know, and for what they need at a particular point in time. So thank you very much.
And finally, we talk about freshmen. We have our dean of the first year experience, Dean Collins, and we have some of our FYE or first year experience students who are here. Did they go to their finals?
Of course. Yes, they did.
Okay. Dean Collins.
Good morning, trustees, Dr. Watson. I'll just speak briefly because I have these wonderful students waiting, and I'm supposed to also be having breakfast with the group of students who ABP Sydney spoke about, and they're here as well. This year, the first experience has been dedicated to not only working with our current students to help get them through to the sophomore year, but our efforts in terms of increasing enrollment for fall 15 have been expanded tremendously. And I'll just have our students stand for a little bit. We have a group of our Cougar Start U leaders who are pretty much our front line in terms of our recruitment efforts. These students call students, they get on the phone, they send them emails, they get a mentor before they come to campus, and they'll work with them throughout the summer to get them onboarded, and then throughout next year, they will be a voice and a person that they can go to. And we also have some of our wonderful freshmen in the back who had an astounding year. Many of them got scholarships from the university, and they got here this morning at like 8:15, so that should tell you that they're committed to their education and they want to continue forward, and it's their last day, so I'm surprised that they showed up, but not really. So I just wanted to acknowledge them because they don't really get a lot of attention. Usually, when we talk about our freshmen, we're always talking about why they don't return. Well, many of them do. And these are some of the ones who've already registered for the fall, and they will be here, and they will graduate in 4 years, hopefully no more than 5. So that's our goal. So thank you guys so much for being here. I also wanted to just kind of briefly talk about our enrollment efforts for the fall. So we have improved upon our orientation process. We call them Cougar Start U. Most universities make those mandatory, and we've been kind of loose on that until this year. I said they have to go through our orientation process first. We already have students who have RSVP'd for our first date, which isn't until June, but that goes in line with best practice. Most schools do not start registering their new students until June, July, and August, because that gives the students time to, one, graduate from high school without being concerned about prom and all that sort of thing, and it gives the university time to actually prepare to get them here. So our first one will be June 18th and 19th. It's a two-day process. The students must get oriented first and learn our policies, our procedures, how we want them to do things, learn about academic standing and that sort of thing. Then on the second day, they'll get their classes. And one of the things I'm most excited about for the fall is that we have expanded our learning communities and block scheduling program, where our students will go move in cohorts through their classes. They will be forced in some ways to make friends, to make connections on campus, while also getting a better experience overall in terms of how they are moved from high school to college. So we've been very busy. I wish I had more time to speak with you, but I'm supposed to be in two places at one time. So I'll open up for questions if you have any.
I have a comment, Mr. Chairman, and we have two of those students that are in the Honors College. Won't you stand the Honors College students that are active in this great program? And Mr. Chairman, under the leadership of Dr. Omar Hedden, who is interim dean over the Honors College and the Honors College Alumni Mentorship Program, we mentor them to make sure that they stay here and graduate with success. Yes.
I'd just like to also say, Mr. Chairman, that on behalf of the trustees, we appreciate the work of these young people and thank them for getting up early this morning and coming to be here today, but we appreciate their work.
Thank you.
Just a word before you finish. First of all, I want to applaud you and your team for doing an excellent job, and I appreciate the passion you have as you deal with trying to grow our enrollment here at the university. So I want to thank you, and I think you and your team deserve a round of applause for this plan of action that we have seen reflected here today. I think so, Mr. Chairman. Yes. Is that in order?
Yes, that's in order.
I believe, as a trustee, Mr. Chairman, that Chicago State University has the capacity to solve all of the educational woes of the city of Chicago.
Yes. Mm.
I think we have that capacity as a university. Mm. And toward that end, with enrollment in sight, the growth of enrollment in sight, as for Chicago Public Schools, I'm very concerned about the nature of our schools, as everybody is, but I see it not as you see it. I see it from a law enforcement perspective. For those of you who may not know, it's been a lot of years, but I used to be the director of the Cook County Jail. At the Cook County Jail, when I left in 1991, we commissioned a study, Mr. Chairman, to determine in the next 20 years what would be the needs of the Cook County Jail as far as an increase or decrease in beds for those inmates who would be coming into the jail in the next 20 years. And you have to remember that the median age of inmates at the jail is between 18 and 25. So what we were really looking at in that study was how possibly young people who had not been born, would they end up in the Cook County Jail in the next 20 years? Mm-hmm. And so we were troubled by that, and we were troubled by the results of that study, which reflected, among many things, that when we charted the educational background of the inmates who were presently in the jail when the study was commissioned, and that was 1991, we found that those who could not read at grade level in the elementary schools by the third grade would most likely end up 5 to 10 years later victimizing society and winding up in the Cook County Jail, which would have required the additional jail beds. And so the planning was, we were planning for beds for young people who had not been born yet, as to, and those plans would determine how large the jail had to be in its capacities. Now, what am I saying? I say all of that to say this. One more time, Chicago State has the capacity to solve all of the educational woes of the city of Chicago, and that means in the Chicago public schools, if we could establish a relationship with Chicago public schools where we could say to the Chicago School Board that we, Chicago State University, intend to establish a relationship designed to teach every third grader in the Chicago public schools to make that student able to read at grade level by the third grade. Can we as a university, for example, say to the Chicago public schools, we are going to take that upon our initiative, and we are going to come in and partner with the Chicago public schools for the purpose of making sure that your third graders can read at grade level? Because if they can, Mr. Chairman, 10 years later, they will not be destroying each other as they are. They will not be raping and robbing and killing as they are. And we can look at the Chicago public schools because of our efforts here as to a Chicago school system, a governmental school system that we can all be proud of. I would like to see us have that type of relationship so that when it comes to recruitment, it's a no-brainer. The Chicago public schools will say, send our children to Chicago State University, because when we needed help, when we needed these children to be able to read at grade level, Chicago State University was there.
And Mr. Chair, we have Trustee Chair, we have Dr. Deborah Lynch, who has the greatest expertise ever to take and propel the programming where we need to go and establish it in the spirit of excellence.
You know, Trustee Lee, the one, I thank you very much for, I thank you for the challenge. I consider it a challenge, and it's a good challenge.
That's what I wanted to do.
It's a good challenge. And I am going to talk with my dean. Actually, I'm going to talk with my provost. And my provost and my dean. And Dr. Lynch, you just happen to be sitting in the line of sight. I'm sorry. And I would like for us to give very serious consideration to that and see if we can come up with a strategy to address that. We have a June board meeting. I'd like for us to have a response to what Dr. Leek has, the challenge he has put forth. I believe 150% that if we address that challenge at that level, we will solve a lot of the societal challenges that we have, all right?
Yeah.
So the challenge has been put forth. I believe you're from Texas. And they're the custom in Texas. So I believe we're going to report back, and I think we will start to meet that challenge, sir.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask a question, please. The report is goal-oriented. How will we know whether we're making the goal?
So every week, this information is updated and shared with the dean so we can course correct, change our strategy in real time. We also receive daily headcount reports that tell us the number of students who are enrolled, and that report is broken down by student classification and category. So we are monitoring this in the morning and in the evening because students can register online 24 hours a day. We receive two updates every day in terms of the headcount report, and the deans will receive a weekly report that you saw here, which was just a screenshot. So every college dean gets that report. They also, as you can see in that report, they can note the accepted applications in the pool. With that information they get every Monday, the update, they also get a list of students and their contact information. So while enrollment management may reach out to that student to drive next steps in the process, the deans are reaching out to those students to talk about their programs. They're engaging students in a different way. The Dean of Student Affairs, she's reaching out with her students, and they're talking up to prospective students about student life, what we have to offer, how do we round you out. Dean Collins, who you spoke to, or who spoke from First Year Experience, she's reaching out, talking about next steps, talking about what we do that first year, connecting with the parents to talk about how we engage that parent, that child, to success.
Definitely sounds like a great program. I just want to know when will we be updated on the progress, et cetera?
So to date, 25% of the students of that goal, we have over 1,000 students registered for the fall. We could update you if you want to give us. We get the information daily, so we always know the numbers. What would be, if you would tell us the best way to keep the board informed?
I think that before our next board meeting, if we know where we are then, and what I'd like to know also is, where were we at the same time last year?
Yes.
Thank you.
That concludes my report.
I believe that concludes the
academic
report of academic affairs.
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Provost.
Thank
Ms. Sidney, Dr. Paul Carney, thank you very much. Now we'll hear from our esteemed Dean of Students, Farrah Muscadin.
Good morning, Board of Trustees. Farrah Muscadin, Interim Dean of Students. I'm going to try to keep us to our timeline as much as possible. So I'm just going to be brief and just tell you a quick highlights. I put together a collage of some events that we had this semester that obviously feature our students. So we're going to get that up so you can see it. It's very quick. But we've had a great year and a great semester. Students are engaged. And there's a vibrant atmosphere on campus, and we want to keep that going. I have an open door policy, and students are in and out of my office. It's like a community center all day. I love it. They love it. And so as much as I can assist students and our team can assist students, that's what we're going to do. We have our new Student Government Association that was elected. The new president is Paris Griffin. They will be here at the next board meeting so you can meet them. This new student trustee was elected, Jordan Fashion. I'm very excited about this group. They are looking forward to meeting over the summer to figure out what their plans are going to be for the fall. We did a competition. At the beginning of the year, we have a resource fair, and I sit at a table, answer questions from our new students and returning students, and we give them a date book. And in the date book has events that's going on campus. So this year, I designed the cover last year. So I said, well, we should have the students design the cover this year. So we did a competition, and the winner would get a $300 book voucher. So the students got to vote on the selections during the SGA elections. And what you have before you is the winner. And a student, one of our international students designed this. She's actually the S. These are actually students at the CSU. She's the S. Her name is Palu. And so she's the winner. So the cover art day book will be this. And I'm really excited about it. I think the students loved it. It was a way for us to engage it. And of course, the $300 book voucher. Can you press play? The $300 book voucher was a great incentive. The other big thing about student life is our Greek organizations. And I'm really glad to see them back. We have our sororities, Alpha Kappa Alpha are back on campus, Sigma Gamma Rose are back on campus, Zeta's won Best Organization of the Year. we have Sigma Lambda Gamma, and then our sororities that are fraternities that are coming back. We just have 11 new members of Omega Psi Phi fraternity. That's gonna be interesting, and they're looking forward to another fall group. The Alphas, Alpha Phi Alphas back on campus. We're working to get Betas and Kappas on campus. And the reason why I love the Greek organizations is that it's a group within its group, and they're part of their principles of the organization is community service and leadership. And they step up.
Yes.
And they are on campus. Yes. They're visible. They put on great programs. They've actually made a lot of my job easier because mm-hmm. they're putting on programs and students are attending them. They're supporting each other. So I love it. I love to see it, and I want to see it grow in whatever way I can support it, I'm going to support it. The one thing that we are looking at, I want to just talk about going forward. We need to do a better job at reaching out to these particular groups that I want to name. Our graduate students, mm-hmm. our international students, our LGBT community, and our students with disabilities. And so we are putting together a plan to do that. We used to celebrate Disability Awareness Day. We changed that. We need to celebrate it for a week. Next semester, October is Disability Awareness Month. So we're gonna celebrate it for the whole month and do awareness. I'm working very closely with our international students to figure out what their needs are. They actually have a social event tonight, so I will be here till midnight tonight at their social event that they wanted to have as like an end of the year event. And so we're excited about just finding ways to bring everybody together so that they all have an enjoyable academic and social experience here at CSU, because I think they are our asset in recruitment. They are our secret weapon. So I feel very strongly that it is my job to ensure that students have a great experience while we're here, because once they do, they speak for themselves. So if I could just tell you one quick story. We had actually two alphas who were sitting at the Unity Garden, just hanging out at their plot. Some high school students just showed up on campus. They saw them, they went up to them. These two students took the group, it was about 10 students, high school students that came on, gave them a whole tour of the campus. Then they called the director of activities and said, we have these high school students from Minnesota that are here. Brought them up to the student union building, called their friends, and they all hung out in the student activity center. They called more students, Mr. and Ms. CSU came, SGA came. They all interacted, exchanged email information. And I went up to him and I said, wow, thank you for doing that. That was amazing that, you know, these students just came up to you, you didn't know them, and you gave them a campus tour and you connected all these people. And he said, that's my job. I'm supposed to do that as a college student. And I have to tell you, I like to say proud mama moments. That yes. was a proud mama moment. And I was just like, okay, he's clearly not the only one who feels that way. So I feel that we need to capitalize on our students who have that same mentality and use them to recruit, because they're the ones who close the deal, not us. They like me, but they love them better, right? So I want to get that sense of accountability and ownership of CSU and our students, because I think they are the key to our recruitment. So that is it. These are just a collage of pictures. This picture is from our residence hall appreciation. We had Betas on campus, which I love that. These pictures are from our Miss CSU pageant. We had three women and three men compete, and there are our king and queen. And so these are just highlights of pictures. I'm on Instagram now, CSU_Dean of Students for everybody. Yes. Please follow me. I love to highlight students and give them updates about what's going on. So my followers are increasing. I'd like to see them higher, everyone. CSU_Dean of Students, please follow me. But I love what I do. I think it's great. I love working with the students. I'm very passionate about it. And I'm glad that they're seeing the fruits of our team and our collective efforts, hard work. So thank you.
Ms. Musk.
Thank you, Farrah. Go ahead. Comments,
I'm sorry.
Questions?
Who normally gives visiting students the tours of our campus?
It's done through the Office of Admissions. And so I think they have a team of counselors who do it, and I think they also have a team of students who do it as well. So I'm missing sure. It's students and counselors.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I just have a comment, because I've watched Dean Muscadin work so hard. it would be nice every now and then. And we do have some faculty that come to some of the special events, and our administrators, they're always there. But it's nice to see a few of the faculty that engage and teach the students to come to a basketball game or a special event. Just your face, your mere presence, just means so much and goes a long way.